Let's read this letter. 2 John. The elder, to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not only I, but also who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. Verse 4, it has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. Verse 7, many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is a deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may have your reward fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your household or welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. Verse 12, I have much to write you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come visit and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your chosen sister send their greetings. A letter from John. John wrote this to a specific person. He wrote it to a specific place, too. It's my contention that he wrote it to the chosen or elect lady in Ephesus. Now, Ephesus at the time was a hotbed of, shall we say, cults and stuff like that. We've been learning about that in Sunday school. It fits so well with what we're studying here. I'm just always amazed at how the Lord puts stuff together like that. So anyway, the old man, that's what John says. I thought that was funny. It was in some of the commentaries that I read. The elder, the old man. I think I could fit that. To the chosen or elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. So who's the truth? Yeah, Jesus Christ is the truth, isn't he? He is the truth, but he also lives in us. He is the truth. He is the embodiment of all of that. I know we were talking about righteousness earlier, too. He is the embodiment of our righteousness. He is our righteousness. But he also gives us some other things here, too. And this is what's really cool. He gives us grace, mercy, and peace. These things are all things that you can take to the bank. I know that's more of a vulgar or secular type term, but I'll tell you what, you can bank on that. Grace, mercy, and peace all come from him. He is the embodiment of all that, and he gives it to you. It's a free gift. It comes from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son, and he will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth. It sounds to me like this lady had multiple children. Not all of them walked in the truth. So some of them did, some of them didn't. But John's rejoicing with the fact that not only is the lady in the truth, but also that her children are also. I think it's really neat that he is able to write back to where he was, because actually he was in Ephesus prior to writing of this letter. So I would pretend that he is now somewhere else, I don't know, but I think that he's writing this letter to his favored friends there. The children of your chosen sister send their greetings. So he's obviously gone on to somewhere else for the moment anyway. So what he's done in writing this to this lady was to give her admonishment and to lift her up and continue to entreat her to do the things that are already being taught and have been taught by him. Wouldn't that be a fun ministry to sit under? Wouldn't that be cool to sit under John and listen to what he had to say? The other thing that is interesting about this in the opening is that it's the elder and to the chosen lady. There's speculation that when he wrote this, he wrote it not under a pseudonym and not under his name, but under no name, because of the persecution that not only he would have faced, but also the persecution that this lady could have faced, and even the people that are mentioned at the end. So in writing this, he did it anonymously, although it's written to the people that he sent it to, but he also sent it to us too. We're to take this to heart today because we're living in the same kind of times. It gave him great joy to find that some of her children were walking in the truth just as the Lord commanded. And now, dear lady, I'm not writing you a new command, but the one we've had from the beginning. And what was that? He's been talking about this a lot in the last couple of things that we've been talking about. Yeah. Yeah, I liked what Amy put up this morning. Corinthians does a really good job of talking about that. Sometimes I forget, and I'm a little overwhelmed or skeptical about that. But boy, I'll tell you what, that is an amazing group of things to sit down and contemplate and read. Do that on your own sometime. Read that and go through each one of those words and think about what they mean. It's all summed up in this love. That's what we're talking about when we need to walk in obedience to his command. As we're doing that, we're going to continue to love, and we're going to continue to love others. Have you told somebody you love them today? Do it. I know I have. Have you? And as you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. So not only are you going to tell somebody that you love them, but you're going to continue to put your feet to the path. And you're going to continue to walk in love. It's going to be an action. Remember we talked about action and truth last week? That's what this is all about. It's truth and it's action. You got to keep that going. When we get to talking about truth, I wanted to read out of John 8, verse 30 and following. So if you would turn to John 8. Verse 30 says, as Jesus spoke these things, many believed in him. And I thought it was fascinating in studying all of this that you think about what John saw. Jesus spoke things, and many believed in him. Not only did John see conversion of hundreds, but John saw conversion of thousands. But they didn't all stay. If you remember last week, we talked about many left. So not only is he trying to encourage this lady to stick to what's going on, but he also wants to continue that walk. He wants to continue that love. He wants to continue keeping her in the faith, as it were. But John speaks of Jesus saying that he spoke many things and many believed in him. So he said to the Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's the embodiment of truth right there. We're Abraham's descendants, they answered. We've never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we'll be set free? Jesus replied, truly, truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you are trying to kill me because my word has no place within you. I speak of what I have seen in your presence of the Father, and you do what you have heard from your father. They complained. Abraham is our father, they replied. If you were the children of Abraham, said Jesus, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you are trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth. that I heard from God. Abraham never did such a thing. You are doing the works of your father. We are not illegitimate children, they declared. Our only father is God himself. I like the way they flipped this. First, they're arguing from a humanistic standpoint. We're the sons of Abraham. Now, all of a sudden, they're arguing, oh, wait a minute. We're the sons of God. I mean, you know, their perspective changed. They had to change it so that they could be able to try to fit what he's saying, because they didn't want to hold on to it. They didn't want to grasp it. Jesus goes on to say to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? Is it because you are unable to accept my message? You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out his desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, refusing to uphold the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. Remember we talked last week about language and being able to hear? If you can hear from the Holy Spirit, then you're trusting and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ himself, because that Holy Spirit is opened up to you so that you can hear it. These people weren't hearing that. They would have none of it. All they are listening to is the lies that their father is giving them. Not that their ears can't be opened. It can be opened, and they'd be opened by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But right now, they're choosing not to live that way. And then it goes on to say, because he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth to you, you do not believe in me. Verse 46, which of you can prove me guilty of sin? I speak the truth. Why do you not believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears the word of God. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. It's pretty black and white again. John seems to draw lines that are black and white. So does Jesus in this case. He's saying, look, you're either this or you're that. So the letter goes on. 2 John, verse 7, many deceivers who did not acknowledge Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. I thought it was interesting that here's John telling them, look, you've worked hard, I've worked hard, we've put this together, don't lose it. Grasp a hold of it, keep a hold of it. Listen to what he's been teaching. Listen to what Jesus taught. Hold on to that truth. Hold on to those things that are knowledge of Jesus Christ and his coming in the flesh. That's what it's all about. There were people in this day that were saying that Jesus didn't come. Not only didn't he come, that was the Jews, but he didn't come in the flesh. That was the other cults out there trying to take over and wrestle this word away from the people that believed it. He's saying have no part of it. He says it in even stronger terms when he says any such person is a deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you have already worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son, and I would say the Holy Spirit. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your household or welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. I thought it fascinating that what we're saying here is not only should you not have a part of what's going on with the teachings that they're teaching, but you don't even welcome him into your house. I was reading commentaries on this, and I thought it was fascinating that as these people would have traveled the area and taught, they probably would have been invited into your house. They didn't have churches like we have today, so they would have met at somebody's house or something like that. But what John's saying is, don't even have them in your house, because they are corrupt. They are wrong. They're going to steal the teaching that we've taught you, which is what we just read, and they're going to replace it or supplant it with something else that's not correct, not right. As I went through some of the commentaries, I found it even more interesting that there were named names of people that taught this kind of stuff and had women with them that they were teaching this to. And then these people would take this word out and they would put it in place of what Jesus was saying, what Jesus was teaching. So if you would, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. This is Paul speaking to Timothy in Ephesus. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. Sound like today? People will be lovers of themselves. Sounds like today? People will be lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good teachers, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Here's Paul telling Timothy the same thing. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. That's what these people are doing. That's what John's warning this lady against. Have nothing to do with them. They are the kind who worm their way into homes to gain control over weak-willed women who are loaded down with sin and are swayed by all kind of evil desire, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men opposed the truth. Men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. I picked a couple other passages to go along with this to describe these people. It's pretty fascinating. Scripture is replete with descriptions of these folks. In 2 Peter, it says, verse 16, let me give you a chapter. 2 Peter 2:16. For we did not follow cleverly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see what he's saying here? He's saying, hey, look, these people are making up myths, fables. These guys are pulling a rabbit out of a hat and trying to have you believe that rather than what is truth. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from majestic glory saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we ourselves heard this voice from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Remember, John saw Jesus in multiple forms. I talked about that last week. I think it's fascinating that this man had a physical relationship. He loved Jesus. He saw the Lord transliterated on the Mount of Transfiguration. And then he got to see Jesus as he's coming back in the book of Revelation. He got to see the Lord in so many forms and so many fashions. Talk about just overwhelming. I think that would just be a mind-blowing situation to have all of those and be able to have seen all of that. And then he goes on, he says, also we have the power of the prophets as confirmed beyond doubt, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture comes from one's own interpretation, for no prophet was ever brought forth by the will of man. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So what we're doing is, remember last week we talked about a triple witness? This is that same scenario. This is that same situation. Men can't speak this stuff. It has to be spoken through the Word of God. It has to be spoken through God. He's the one that's going to give you that. Once he gives you that, feel free to share it. He wants you to share it. Until then, don't share anything. Be quiet. Hold your tongue. Remember what James tells us about the tongue? He has a lot to say about it. If you want to read that, it's really good. First part of the book of James is a really good book to learn from. What we're saying in all this, though, is these are the antichrists that are going out. You cannot even accept them into your house. Don't let them come in. Don't let them have any kind of a sway over you, and don't let their teaching invade you. Jude is another one. Verse 3 begins, "Beloved, although I made every effort to write you about the salvation we share, I feel it necessary to write and urge you to contend earnestly for the faith entrusted once for all to the saints. For certain men have crept in among you, unnoticed, ungodly ones who were designed long ago for condemnation. They turn the grace of our God into a license for immorality, and they deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ." So, like I was saying earlier, the scriptures are replete with admonishing, stay away from this stuff. Don't even go near it. Don't invite it into your place. Don't have anything to do with it. Back to you. John 2, verse 12, he says, "I have much to write you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come visit you and talk with you face to face, so that our joy may be complete. The children of your chosen sister send their greetings." So here's John finishing up a letter saying, you know what, I've got a lot more I could talk about. I could put it down on paper, pen, and ink. He doesn't want to do that. He wants to come and have fellowship with these folks. He wants to see them face to face. He wants to be able to sit with those folks and enjoy their company. And then he wants to tell them what's on his heart and what's on his mind. Unfortunately, that doesn't put it down for us. We didn't get to read it. But you know what? It would be awesome, like I said earlier, to sit under that kind of teaching. So today I want to encourage you, stay the course. That's what this is all about. This is talking to the elect lady and encourage her and admonish her to stay the course. John wants us to do the same thing. He wants us to take the truth that we have in our Bibles and be able to live it in a daily walk, and then in action and truth, we go forth from here knowing that we've met not only with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Father, but also being guided by the Holy Spirit in all things. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the letter that John did write down. We thank you for the words that we're able to read and understand. We thank you that you've given us a comprehension. We thank you that you've given us many other folks that have chimed in on the same issues so that we can be well aware and not overtaken by the enemy or the evil one. We just ask that you would keep us safe, put a hedge of protection around us, and help us to go forth this day, being able to serve not only you, but also our brothers and sisters. Help us to love one another like we are commanded to do in the word. Amen. In remembrance of me. Jesus said that. That's what this is all about. That's what this is remembrance is all about. We're remembering the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we do that? Today we're going to do it with communion. Not only did John want to meet with these people face to face, but he also wanted to have communion with them. That's what communion's all about. Today we want to have communion. We want you individually to give your heart to the Lord. We want you to be able to take his body in the form of the bread, and we want to be able to take the fruit of the vine that represents his blood that was shed for all, and we want to be able to have communion with the Lord. So what I'd like you to do is go ahead and come up and receive the elements, and then take your seat, and then once you've prepared your heart, go ahead and at your leisure take the elements. In the meantime, I would like to pray, but right now I'd like you to come up and get the elements, okay? Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we've had the chance to be able to meet with you. We thank you that we can go forth from here this week knowing that we're serving you a most awesome and holy God. Just ask your blessing upon it and us as we go from here. Amen.